You're listening to Colourful.
The unmistakable voice of Miss Beverly Knight with Made It Back. Widely labelled as one of Britain's greatest soul singers, it gives me great pleasure to welcome along to the Colourful studio the singer, the songwriter, record producer and three Merba Awards winner, Miss Beverly Knight, MBE. Beverly, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Now that you're here, actually, in the studio, you know, I must tell the listeners that while we're playing that track, I said to you, you know, you look as if you're just thinking about something. What are you thinking about? Just let them know what you're thinking about.
Well, listening to Made It Back, because, you know, I recorded that in 97. So you're talking a long time ago now. And I was just remembering where I was when I sang it and hanging out at the studio down at Dodge, who was the producer of the track, at his house. And I was just thinking how, you know, just what a wonderful time that was for me. And how Dodge remains one of my favourite people ever to have worked with.
He's a great guy, Dodge.
Oh, fantastic.
Well. Absolutely superb. Now, that track's actually my favourite track of yours.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I had to intro this session with that particular track. And talking about reminiscing, I saw a clip of, it was actually a rerun of an audience with Lionel Richie.
Yes.
And you earned this hot red number.
Oh,
Endless Love.
That's right.
How did that collaboration come about and what was it like to work with Lionel Richie?
It came about because it was a suggestion by, I think it was ITV who did the show. And the station played some of my music to Lionel, who really liked it. And then he saw me just, I think it was 2 weeks after that, doing one of the big Party in the Park events that used to happen at Hyde Park. And he said, oh, that's the girl. Yes, definitely. Yes, yes, yes. So I want her on the show. So that was how it hooked up. And then working with him, he's very easy. He's very laid back. You don't look at him and think, yeah, 100 million plus albums sold. You just think, he's a nice bloke, isn't he? He's really, really earthy and friendly. And yeah, it was so easy to get on with him.
When you were singing with him, Beverly, and you're looking into his eyes, I was like, what's Beverly thinking? Because I'm sure he's quite magnetic, isn't he?
Yeah, he does have a great presence. He's very charismatic. But to be honest, all I was thinking was, just remember what lines come next. Because it's not one of my songs. So it was like, yeah, just remember what lines come next because there's no auto cue.
Well, you know, when I was watching you guys, I was like, Beverly's wearing such a tight dress. How can she still belt out those tunes?
The dress was actually a lot more forgiving than it looks. It had stretch.
Oh, I see. You wore it very well. Very well indeed. So we've spoken about Lionel Richie, but you've worked with so many other people. I mean, Prince. Didn't you do a post-Oscar party with Prince?
Did, yes, indeed.
And Stevie Wonder came on the stage as well.
Yeah,
how cool is this?
It was one of the greatest moments, if not the greatest moment in my musical career. I'm a massive mental Prince fan, and then to be in a situation where he asks you to work with him, that by itself was just like, oh my gosh, this is insanity. Oh my god. And then to be flown halfway across the world to LA and to work with him, and then have Stevie Wonder just randomly, as you do, jump on the stage, hit the clavichord and start playing Superstition. It was like, okay, this is not real. I'm pinching myself. This is insane. Oh, indescribable.
And what happens in those situations when you are so in awe? I mean, do you feel that you can still perform? I mean, how do you still give it your all?
With me, I don't know how other artists fare, but certainly with me, my thing is, right, okay, it's time to step up. These are the big boys. This is you got to bring your A game, as the Americans say. And I only kind of fall apart and do the fan thing after. I'm always like, yeah, cool, in my stride, probably because I'm on a stage and that's my environment. That's where I'm most comfortable. But the minute I'm off the stage, I turn into Bev, the fawning fan, crying and all the rest of it.
That's when you realise, oh my days, look what I've just done.
Exactly right.
It's all good. And didn't you also do something with Chaka Khan as well?
Yes, I did. Yes, indeed. Quite a few things with lovely Chaka Khan. We had sung together on stage a few times. The first occasion was at the Jazz Cafe right here in London. And then there were various other things, including going to the Montreux Jazz Festival, where she roped me in to sing with her for the honour of Quincy Jones, which was, you know, quite amazing.
Yes.
And then eventually I got my chance to work with her in the studio, because she duetted with me on my last album on the song Soul Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great learning curve, watching someone like that who really is top of the tree vocally,
yes,
just
yes,
watching her work and everything. I was like, okay, this is heavenly.
Oh, wow. Wow. Great education, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now, your anticipated seventh studio album called Soul UK will be released on 4th of July.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, that's American Independence Day. So is this a significant day or just a coincidence?
To be honest, it was a coincidence. But when, you know, I thought about it and thought, oh, a British soul album,
yes,
you know, giving honour and tributing the great British soul songs that we have, is released on American Independence Day. Well, it sends a message that Britain stands shoulder to shoulder with whatever America has to offer, in my opinion.
Absolutely. In your humble opinion.
Yes.
And as you say, I mean, you're honouring soul greats from the UK.
Yes.
I just wonder, was it a lengthy process selecting which UK artist to actually honour?
Yes, it was. No doubt about it. I could easily do Soul UK 2, 3, 4, yeah, because there are just so many great tracks that have come from this Fair Isle.
Yes.
And great artists that have gone along with it. So what I did was choose the tracks that were most pertinent to me, mm-hmm, and that I had stories about, you know, growing up and that, and people who, in some cases, I'd gone on to work with in my own career, etc. So, and then there were others who I totally left alone because I was like, you know what? You're actually too perfect as you are. Certain songs, certain singers were just too fabulous as they were. And I was like, nah, leaving you over there because I can't even come for that.
Earlier on, I played your version of Soul to Soul's Fair Play.
Yes.
I like that. I like
Thank
that
you.
A lot.
Thank you.
You know, when you actually do somebody else's cover, what goes through your mind?
It's firstly, there's the respect for what has gone on before. Some songs, Fair Play wasn't one of them, but some songs are of their era,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, production-wise sound like it. Fair Play has a timeless feel. You can play that at any time, mm-hmm, and it's going to work. But there was the respect for what Rose Windross, who was the original singer, what she did first,
mm-hmm,
and not doing a slavish copy, but complimenting, you know, the melody and everything, but doing it my way, bringing it into my kind of sphere. And so I think once you have that respect, that healthy respect for the original, whatever you do artistically should be fine. Mm. You know, that's a theory anyway.
Yeah. And you also ask like a permission from the actual artist that you're covering as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And you ask them for their input, you know, once it's done. Even though you might like it, do you still say something? Do you think that was all right?
Oh, yeah. After I'd finished each song, you know, the first thing I did was make sure that every artist who was involved had a listen and, you know, gave me their feedback.
Yes.
And I'm pleased to report that out of 13 of songs, you know, 13 artists all gave me the thumbs up, aww, which was fantastic.
All good, all good.
Yeah.
I know the first song to be released from the album is your version of Junior's Mama Used to Say.
Yes.
What memories did you have of this original track?
Now, I remember actually seeing Junior do this on Top of the Pops. Mm. I remember the wet look he was running with the glasses and the whole thing.
He's still running that.
Oh, my God. Listen, I'll tell you. And I remember just singing along as a child. I didn't really know what the lyrics were, you know, when you just make up your own lyrics. Oh, I was one of those. It's phonetically just singing along to whatever I thought was said. But I loved that song so much and have those vivid memories of seeing it performed on Top of the Pops and knowing that Junior was one of ours. He was British, and that kind of significance was not lost on me as young as I was. And, you know, that song still is fantastic.
Yeah, it was a big hit, wasn't it, back in the day?
Massive hit back in the day, you know, both here and across the pond.
Yeah.
And yeah, but there's a whole generation here who don't know it. So it was like, right, you lot need to know this song because it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I love it.
If you just tuned in, welcome along. Beverly Knight, MBE, is in the house. I have to say MBE because you have got that MBE.
Yes.
And we're talking about her. 24 minutes past 12, Colourful Life with me, Rosemary Laye. Listening to the sounds of Beverly Knight with Junior's version. Oh no, her version of Junior's Mama Used to Say. And Beverly's still hanging out with me in the studio. Now, our listeners don't realise that, in fact, the album Soul UK was actually recorded live, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, yeah. The vast majority of songs, 10 out of the 13, were recorded utterly live. So it was me with headphones on, the drummers in a little booth just tucked around the corner, guitar, bass, you know, the whole lot, in the studio, all doing our thing together. That makes such a difference on certainly how I vocally yes. perform. Yes. It's where I'm the most comfortable. Mm. And so what you're listening to is one take from start to finish. Mm. That's what you just heard. The only kind of additional bits were I had to go back and do my own background vocals and the horns as well were done a bit later. So that
okay.
was it.
So now, so that particular track, I mean, yes, it's on Soul UK, but you're going to release that first. Is it June?
Yes, yes. June the, well, it's a week before the 4th of July and my maths is atrocious. The 27th, I think.
Of June.
of June.
And what's this about? It's actually on your own record label.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. Totally independent now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The whole kind of major record label thing for my career had run its course. Mm. And I'm sure even the most casual of observers of the music industry will know that, you know, times have been very hard yes. for the big labels out there.
Yes.
And with the explosion of the internet, so many more artists are kind of, they have the knowledge, so they're setting up their own labels and doing their own thing independently of anyone else.
Yes.
And it just frees you up, you know, creatively, bureaucratically, you know. It's great. It's great. It's hard work, though.
I'm Ooh. Sure. I'm sure. And your own label's called Hurricane Records.
Yes.
What's the story behind that title, Hurricane?
Hurricane. Well, it kind of came from a few people, but Shaka was the one who kind of nailed it most in that prior to me working with her, she was like, you got a voice like a hurricane. It just blows through everything. You know, that's how your voice is. And I was like, oh, like God said, I sing like a hurricane. That is good, isn't it? so there you go, Hurricane Records.
So who else are you honouring on this particular album?
Well, you've heard Junior and earlier you've heard Soul to Soul. There's Loose Ends. Couldn't be British Soul without Loose Ends. Mm. And of course, Omar as well.
Yeah.
And then going through to people who are not so well known, but fondly remembered by me. Do you remember Princess? Say I'm Your Number One.
Yes.
That was a bad yeah. boy tune, you know. So I had to get on there as well. Even further back in the day with the band Freeze, who did
yes.
Southern Freeze.
Yeah, Southern Freeze.
I always, yeah. always loved.
Yeah.
And then the oldest of the tracks is Rod Temperton's Always and Forever, mm. which a lot of people don't realise is a stone-cold British song. Rod Temperton, being from Cleethorpes in the north of England, was part of Heatwave, mm-hmm. of course, with Transatlantic. But that song is one of ours.
Oh,
it's a Brit classic.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I was glad to see that you're also honouring Young Disciples.
Yes,
as well.
Totally.
Apparently Nothing.
That's right.
That
era.
Was a tune.
Oh, completely. Yeah. That era was so great for you know, British soul. You had Young Disciples leading the charge with the fantastic Carleen Anderson and Femi Femme on production and that. And that lyrically, ahead of its time,
yes.
that could be now. Mm. So, you know, I'm glad that that song in through my album is getting, you know, a new kind of slant
Release.
To
Absolutely.
It because it's relevant for right now.
Yes, my dad was actually in the video of Apparently Nothing, but that's another story.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that after, Rosemary.
I think so. And you also recognise a Lewis Taylor that not
yes.
many people might recognise that name.
That's right. Now, Lewis Taylor a lot of people who are kind of anoraky about music in the way that I am, and I mean that affectionately, would remember Lewis Taylor in the kind of mid to later on 90s. He kind of came out of nowhere from North London and gave us what I regard as one of the most amazing albums ever in any genre to come from the UK. It sounded like Marvin Gaye had risen again and was making music. That's the closest kind of example that I can think of. It was completely genius album. So my favourite track of his, and the album was eponymous, it was called Lewis Taylor, was the track Damn. I thought that was the strongest song on the album. A bunch of killers, but that was like the killer of killers. And so I chose to do that as an example of British soul that, you know, should be honoured and wasn't really at the time, and absolutely deserves an airing. So I'm hoping this album is, yes, entertaining, but also a bit educational as well.
Yes. I think you've definitely hit the nail on the head there. And I know you've also been very influenced by soul greats who have been across the pond, you know, Sam Cooke and Aretha Franklin. And I wonder, Beverly, you know, will your next album be Soul US?
I think that Soul US, my gosh, that if that happens, that'll be quite a long time, you know, down the running order. Because certainly the next thing I do will be original material.
Yes.
Of course, you know, I have to. I write songs, so, you know, that'll be my next offering after Soul UK. But I guess Soul US is such a vast category. Yeah. Where do you begin? Mm. You know, what era, what time? So I don't know.
That's a long project.
Yes, that would be a long project if I were to undertake that. Mm. But if I did it, it would have to be with a very, very British slant. So I think if I were to do that, I'd have to get a load of other British artists so that it stamped that British authority over it.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we have to say a good afternoon to Irene, one of our listeners who's emailed in to say, hi, and she's talking to you. She says, hi, saw you at Southport. Not me, obviously.
Oh.
And she said, you looked very slim. You did a great set. That's from Irene.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you,
and
Irene.
And she is very slim, Irene. She is very slim. Because, you know, even you're slim even on television, but you're slimmer in real life.
That's telly for you.
Telly, isn't it? Telly puts 10 pounds on you.
It really does. And, you know, it's a weird thing. Everything about you is magnified. It's blown up. So people meet me and they're like, huh?
Yeah.
How come only are you little, but you're short.
Yes.
You're really short. And I'm like, yes, I know I'm short. Thank you very much.
But how short are you in comparison to Prince?
If I were to take my shoes off, there's actually not that much in it. I'm about an inch and a half taller than him. Seriously. You know, if we were both kind of flat feet.
And how tall are you?
And I am almost 5'4", but I never quite got the 5'4", I'm afraid. So heels all the time for me.
Beverly, where can we catch you perform soon?
Well, I'm doing various kind of performances through the summer, hoping to be here in the UK doing some festivals and things. But the big tour where you will definitely find me is happening in November, and that will be right across the UK. And the London show will be the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, fabulous
so,
venue.
You know, you got to come and see what I do in my most natural environment.
Fabulous. And of course, you're playing some tracks from Soul UK as well.
Absolutely. As well as, you know, songs from, you know, my own past.
Yes.
So it will be sort of new kind of old, but definitely old school as well.
It will be from the old school to the new cool.
Absolutely. There
it's
you
like
go.
We are on Colourful, you
That's
see.
Right.
Beverly, thank you so much for popping in to have a chat with us today.
Absolute
and
pleasure.
All the very best for Soul UK.
Hey, it's me, Beverly Knight, and I like my life colourful.